Hello and welcome in to this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping you had a great weekend, that you're ready to face Monday, and that all is well with you and yours. You know, life hands you some really, really weird packages some days, and I'm trying to find a way to get this one actually online here. So if you just bear with me for a moment, I'm trying to find a way to get this. I don't think there's a way I can actually do it. Oh, wait a minute. Here, I know what to do. Here, let me do this. Open new link and do this. See, the thing is that seriously, in the 2 or 3 minutes before getting started, I was doodling around in here in the studio and I was getting bits and pieces together. And if you'll go to the Facebook page, you'll see it here in just a second, because I'm about to put it up on the the Facebook page. Okay, here we go there. And I have a visitor this morning in the Daily Perspective Podcast studio. And it's not Princess Shaggy Feet, Kimber the Wonder Dog. It's not her. It's a little guy that came in, obviously, looking for someplace warm. And this is just weird. I have never had anything like this happen before. But I reached over to adjust an iPad. I have an iPad it's an old iPad mini that it won't update software anymore or the operating system anymore. And I have it in a bracket hanging over the desk on one side here in the studio. And it basically just serves as a digital clock. And I actually didn't reach up there. I looked up at the clock and looked up and thought, well, what the odd, what is that? Over the top, up at the top edge of the iPad, and I looked more closely, and it was definitely not anything I had put there, and I grabbed a light. I've got this desk lamp over to one side. It's one of those things with a spring arm. You can move it around and hang it over pretty much anything, and I turned it up and looked at it, and it's a snake. I'm actually looking at it right now. There's a snake on my iPad. Above my digital clock, and he's keeping an eye on me, and it's a little, I think it's a corn snake, so I'm looking at the shape of its head and the pattern the pattern on its scales and such, and it doesn't look like a venomous reptile, let's put it that way. And I go back quite a ways with little snakes and stuff like that, because as a kid I was fascinated by them and I used to catch them and such. So this is one that's actually beneficial, one that eats mice and things like that. So I'm going to catch him and put him outside when I get to a point where I can after the podcast today. But in the meantime, I'm just going to let him sit there and hang out and be warm, because the ball here is rolling, and I'm not interested in interrupting this to deal with him, because honestly, he's probably chilly, a bit lethargic, and he's fine. He's not going anywhere. So, but talk about surprises. That's just weird. It's just weird. And you know, it's not like I got a Swiss cheese house here that didn't get in. The only thing I can think is that possibly he came in when I had the garage doors up over the weekend, because I was doing a lot of stuff around the house and I had the garage open. And so, and he must have wandered in at that point and started looking for someplace warm. And this iPad is plugged into a charger all the time, so it stays warm. It's a little warm all the time because it's charging, right? And he must have decided this is good enough. And he just kind of coiled himself up around the top of it. And the picture is on the Daily Perspective Podcast Facebook page, if you want to go over there and look. Depending on the time of the day you look, it may be down a ways. If you're listening like live to Facebook Live right now, because we're on Facebook Live, then the picture is up. It's at the top of the page. But a little bit later in the day, once everything has changed, then this little guy will be pushed down a bit because I'll be dropping other things in there. I put him up there. You can see what time. It was at 7:55 and 7 seconds. That's when I took the picture. And that's right after I noticed he was up there. And I sent Jay and I sent my wife a picture, the picture, this the one that you can see on the website, on Facebook right now. I sent her the picture and her response, let me pull it up and read it to you. Her response was, please tell me that is not real. If it is, we need to burn the house down. Oh, man. You just can't make this stuff up. Life happens. You just can't make this stuff up. But he's a cute little guy. And in days past, I would have dropped him in a terrarium or something. But no, he's going back outdoors as soon as I can. Oh, man. That's probably the most excitement I've had in a while, because it's just like, what is, oh, hello. It was a real surprise. Because my weekend, I mean, this past week has just been weird. Now, Friday, in that distorted little podcast that I recorded while I was driving, Friday, I did record the story about what happened. And if you haven't listened to that one, you need to go back and listen to that one. And I apologize for the audio quality. I had no idea. I didn't have earbuds plugged in or anything. I was just looking at levels. Everything looked like it was fine. And it was... It's a bit crackly, but I left it that way because I wasn't going to go back and record all that stuff again. It had been a few days of dealing with the water issues around the house, and by that time we had gotten over the hump and everything was back to normal again. And I was relieved, and at that point was going back to the hotel to pick up the shirt that I left behind. And was recording in the car as I traveled between places. But it was just weird last week. Last week just blew us out of the water. And everything was just bizarre. And I was upset with the waterworks for doing what they did without notifying me. And at the same time, and I meant to mention it in the podcast, and I don't remember if I did or not, but that's typical of a government-type agency, an agency with no competition, a utility that doesn't have to... that doesn't have to compete for your loyalty. See, if there was Sam's Water Company and Bob's Water Company, and I got ticked off with Sam's Water Company, I could call Bob's Water Company and have them hook me up to their pipes. But that's not the way things are. The way things are is there's one set of pipes feeding your area, and that's who you have to deal with. So as a result, I was stuck with them, and when they didn't contact me about the transition of from one account to another, they just came out and cut my water off. I was not happy with them at all. And I let them know so. And they almost hung up on me because I wasn't getting nasty. I was just letting them know. And they kept responding to me in very unsatisfactory ways. It was just unsatisfactory here. Somebody who's been paying their bill in this place for like 10 years, and they weren't taking any of that into consideration. It was just, it was loony. Anyway, so much for that. I hope you had a good weekend. My weekend was kind of productive. Mowed grass around the house, did some things, took care of some odds and ends. It seems like every time I do anything outside at the house, I have to repair the equipment I used to do it with. So I spent some time repairing dealing with a carburetor issue on the big lawnmower, and I had a flat tire. I had to get that fixed, and it was just, so what I expect to go out and actually I expected to have to jump the thing off, because if I don't use it for a few weeks, I have to jump start it. And so I expected to have to do that. So that was no big deal, but and the carburetor, I kind of knew that was an issue, and that's the problem created by ethanol gasoline. It's just the attraction of water to the alcohol in your gas creates issues with carburetors and things like that. Fuel injection is not a big issue, but if you have a carbureted piece of equipment, it goes nuts. And I'm not going to go into the explanation here. I've already bored you too much with that. At any rate, did all that stuff. And then Jane was out of town. And so I kind of had the place to myself. It was just me and the Wonder Dog. And so it was kind of an uneventful weekend until just a little while ago when I saw Sam the Snake here. That's pretty weird. I gotta tell you. That's pretty weird stuff. Oh, also weird stuff is what's going on in the news. We've been watching a lot of different things going on here. And let me look at just the tabs I have here, just to give you sort of a heads up. Okay, we'll start with the absurd department. Twitter has censored the White House expert, Scott Atlas. He's a medical expert. Juan Williams has published something that is just, it is just delusional progressive lunacy. And he could be facing some trouble. We'll see. Joe Biden keeps insisting that police shoot violent people in the leg. I discussed that at length on social media the other day. We'll get into it here. We'll probably have time for that. Democrats in the media are saying all these stories that we're hearing now about Biden and about Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and his laptop and all of this stuff. They're saying it's all Russia when we're pretty sure it's not. And of course, you know, Adam Schiff at the drop of any hat will utter the word Russia. And I, as I posted on social media the other day, I believe that Adam Schiff probably twitches in his sleep at some time in the dark of night and says, Russia, Russia, Putin. But that's another story. And let's see. The moderator for the third debate, the second one never happened, but the third debate that's planned, the moderator, it appears, has some deep Democrat ties. Hopefully we'll have time to look at that. And plus, there's a story that I want to touch on about how Orwellian things have become in the last couple of years. It's just pretty interesting. But first up, we'll deal with this first absurd item while I've got just a couple of minutes here. Social media company Twitter finished its week of apparently politically motivated censorship on its platform by banning tweets regarding the efficacy of masks from Scott Atlas. He's a member of the White House scientific team. Science, remember, they tell you, we follow the science. Well, right. He's a member of the White House scientific team battling the coronavirus. Atlas, as a senior fellow at Stanford's Hoover Institute, he not only had his tweets removed, he was banned from tweeting until he deleted the tweets that Twitter, for unclear reasons, objects to. And here's what the tweets had to say. Masks work? No. L.A., Miami, Hawaii, Alabama, France, Philippines, U.K., Spain, Israel, WHO, widespread use not supported, many harms, Hennigan, Oxford, CEBM, despite decades. That means the right policy is... the real Donald Trump's guideline, use masks for their intended purposes when close to others, especially high risk. Otherwise, social distance, no widespread mandates. And Twitter shut him down. In an email to the Federalist, Atlas outlined the evidence behind his tweet. In the deleted tweet, he says, I cited the following evidence against general population masks. One, cases exploded even with mandates. L.A. County, Miami-Dade County, Hawaii, Alabama, the Philippines, Japan, the United Kingdom, Spain, France, Israel. Dr. Carl Hennigan, and you can hear the music is running already, and I won't have time to get through this. Dr. Carl Hennigan, University of Oxford, director of the Center for Evidence-Based Medicine and editor-in-chief of British Medical Journal, Evidence-Based Medicine. Quote, it would appear that despite two decades of pandemic preparedness, there's considerable uncertainty as to the value of wearing masks. And then he goes on to the WHO and the CDC. And this is important. I want to get into this. I want to keep on with this. So we'll pick it back up after the break. Okay? The situation with masks, the science actually says that the masks we're wearing are ineffective. But we're being told we have to wear them. Number one with snakes across the South. It's the Daily Perspective podcast. My little buddy's moved. Not much, but he has moved. You stay there, pal, because when we get through with the podcast, me and you, we got a meeting. I'm going to the garage and getting my big gloves, and we're going to take you back outside. All right. No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the little snake hanging out on top of my iPad. It's a Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Why do I feel like I'm podcasting from Steve Irwin's zoo? It's just, I got animals everywhere. I got a dog asleep in a chair to one side and a snake hanging out on my iPad. What's next? Oh, I don't want to know, please. I just don't want to know what's next. Probably a giant cockroach. Anyway, let's see. Where were we? About Scott Atlas. He's a member of the White House scientific team battling the coronavirus, and how he has questioned the efficacy of using masks, and Twitter has shut him down for doing so. And he's quoted some sources, some good sources. Listen, where did I leave off? I left off after he was talking about there were four points. I got 2 points in. The third point is the WHO. That was another one of his sources. Quote, the widespread use of masks by healthy people in the community setting is not yet supported by high quality or direct scientific evidence, and there are potential benefits and harms to consider. And number four was the CDC. Quote, our systematic review found no significant effect of face masks on transmission of laboratory-confirmed influenza. End quote. He says he also, cited an article giving detailed explanation of the reasons why masks might not prevent spread. And there are links in each one of his references here. Notwithstanding this evidence regarding arguably the most important and contentious debate raging in American society, the constant mandate of masks, it appears some 20-something with his pronouns in his Twitter bio, just pushed a button and erased scientifically accurate information. For some reason, which hopefully Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey can explain when he is dragged before the Senate, Atlas was silenced by the tech giant. This comes the same week that Twitter blocked New York Post articles alleging improprieties involving presidential candidate Joe Biden, his son Hunter, and the Ukrainian energy company Burisma, revealed by a laptop now held by the FBI. For good measure, Twitter also banned the New York Post's official Twitter account from the platform. Universal masking is a subject of scientific dispute and just happens to be a contentious political argument in the midst of the 2020 presidential election. Under the dubious policy of stopping the spread of disinformation, Twitter has silenced an expert on the matter for what seems to be politically motivated purposes. Let me stop here for just a moment. Universal masking, a subject of scientific dispute, happens to be a contentious political argument in the midst of the 2020 presidential election. And I think that is the core of everything, just so you know. It is a contentious political argument. It's not really a scientific argument because, you know, they like to say the science is settled. Well, the science actually does seem to be settled on how effective masks truly are. We have known for 6 months or better that the masks that you can buy, those little disposable masks, are too porous to keep the virus from passing through. The masks that you make at home are also too porous to prevent the virus from passing through. The masks which you buy from Target or Walmart, the cloth masks you see everywhere, the masks being sold by the Disney parks that you see, if you watch their videos, you see these people, happy visitors, wearing their Disney-themed masks in the park. They're also made from fabric, and that fabric is incapable of stopping the virus. We have known this for quite some time, but if you have enough Twitter followers and you say so on Twitter, Twitter will shut you down, as we are seeing every single day. Now, to be honest with you, if I were to use my Twitter podcast account and post something like that, I might get a little note from them, but my account wouldn't be shut down because, frankly, I don't reach as many people as they would think would be qualified to be dangerous. I have no illusions about that. I refer to this podcast as a pokey little podcast from time to time because I realize there's really, in the big scheme of things, there's not that many people that listen to it. But I do want you to know, I appreciate you listening, but I want you to know that what we're being told about masks is not true. That the masks, as I said, unless you step up to a truly effective mask, an N95 rated mask, or something that you see people wear when they're dealing with chemical issues and it filters practically everything out, you're not being protected by wearing a mask. You're just being oxygen deprived, quite honestly. And your glasses are getting fogged up. Your sunglasses are fogging up too. And that's the nature of the beast. But because he says so, and he is part of the Trump administration, Twitter shuts him down. Now, Twitter, it claims to be a neutral platform, enjoys legal protection as such, has once again proven that not only does it have an editorial agenda, it has a political one. You see, the information overlords at Twitter.com will decide what information and what facts the masses like you and I are allowed to consume on their platform. That would be fine if they were a publisher and treated as such legally, but for now they are not. Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act gives Twitter special protection to engage in censorship, but after this week of obviously politically motivated silencing, many in Congress are looking to stripping the company of that protection. Twitter's reasoning behind banning information that questions the efficacy of masks is as opaque as a smile behind a mask. Like much of the traditional media, it seems to be that the American people are too stupid to confront and analyze actual information, and instead must be spoon-fed instructions like toddlers. You don't have to know why you must cover your face everywhere you go. You just have to do it. And again, this goes back to something I say all the time, and that is that progressives believe you're too stupid to take care of yourself, and you need them to hold your hand and walk you through life. Twitter is doing that right now. This is enough. It was well past enough already, frankly. Twitter is now censoring important and much-needed scientific information that the American people need to make informed decisions about their health. If Jack Dorsey wants to be a mask busybody while he parties maskless with Beyonce and Jay-Z on a yacht, so be it. The mask rules don't apply to him, but the laws of the United States should, and they must. Twitter is no neutral platform. This fact is as obvious as a punch in the mouth, which is exactly what Congress needs to give it. Free speech is as central to the American experiment as any concept is, and as foreign to Twitter as it could be. It would be a shame if screen captures of Atlas's tweets somehow found their way onto Twitter. I know Jack would be dismayed if he's not in Indonesia engaging in fasting and spiritual development. So, I encourage you today, make sure you get today's show notes, because there is a screen capture of Dr. Atlas's Twitter post and a link to it in the story that I just related to you. Grab that story, grab that screen capture, and let's spread it around today. Let's give Jack's little mind-numbed robots a little work to do, and keep spreading it. Because the fact is that masks, the kind of mask that we're being sold everywhere, the kind of mask that people are pointing at you and saying, hey, pull that up over your nose, these masks don't stop the virus molecules. They're too small. They pass through the mask. They pass through the fabric. They pass through the materials in those little disposable medical masks that you buy at the store, which, by the way, are all made in China. They're demanding that you comply, that you conform. This is not about actually protection. This is about compliance and obedience. And that is what government wants from you. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for Monday, the 19th day of October in the year 2020. This is podcast number 302. Is that right? I believe it is. I meant to mention number 300 and totally forgot about it the other day. That's how things go. Oh, man. Well, during the break, I went out to the garage and grabbed my gloves and took care of Sammy the Snake. So Sammy the Snake is now outside where he belongs. And I dropped him in an azalea bush out by the driveway. He can fend for himself and go find some bugs or something to eat. And I won't be looking over at the clock and seeing him staring back at me right now, which was wigging me out. I was going to wait until I got through, but I kept looking over there, and he's turned with one eye towards me, and he's looking at me. I'm just like, okay. All right, that's enough. But I got him, and he's gone now. And I mean, he was a cute little guy. He really was. He was a cute little guy. And like I said, in earlier days, I would have, you know, made a space, found a terrarium, and look, that's Sammy Snake. He's living in my terrarium. Not anymore. No. Outside he goes. Oh, my. We were just talking about Twitter suppressing what's happening, and I've teased a handful of things, and it's clear to me now I'm not going to get to a lot of stuff today just because of the way things are going. The big stories right now, the big story right now is Hunter Biden's laptop. And The Democrats and their comrades, and I use that word on purpose, their comrades in the news media are saying this is all Russia, but you and I both know it's not. The FBI has had this for a while. The shop owner made a copy of the contents of the hard drive, and he shared it with Rudy Giuliani, and we have a lot of stuff coming out. Now, there was a story over the weekend that started bubbling up and getting some attention about video of Hunter Biden with underage Chinese girls. And I don't know if that's true or not. If it is true, it's the end of Biden's campaign. It's just, it's all over, because that's what will get, all of the attention. And the attention factor is exactly why the news media is not paying any attention to it, because if it gets any press in the mainstream, then Joe Biden is done. It's all over. There's no way that the American people would be comfortable with electing someone who is connected with someone who does such things. They will forget about the fact that Joe Biden mysteriously had a sudden gigantic increase in personal net worth after he got out of after he retired. Basically, they will forget the other things that which have gone on. They'll forget the video which shows him bragging about getting a prosecutor taken off of the case of investigating Burisma. They will forget all of the things that point to his deep corruption. And they will think about the icky nastiness of his son being involved with child sex trafficking. And on one hand, that's politically expedient for the Republicans. On the other hand, it's just evil. And as yet, we don't know if that's true. So we really can't get into an awful lot on that. All we can say is, wow. On one hand, I kind of hope it's not true. On the other hand, if it is true, then people need to act accordingly. And they need to pay attention to everything, not just that one story, but everything. Because Joe Biden, there's no way, other way to put it. Joe Biden's living large, and he could not possibly have done so on the salary he was making for 47 years. He's worth a lot of money. A lot. And it didn't come from your tax dollars. Let's just say that. Now, this whole thing, let me pull that other story up. The Democrats in the media are claiming the Hunter Biden stories are Russian false narrative. Russian disinformation. Representative Adam Schiff, shifty, lying Adam Schiff, the House Intelligence Committee chairman and a top Democrat, claimed that the New York Post stories on Hunter Biden's business dealings in Ukraine and China are part of a smear campaign, and it comes from the Kremlin. He made those remarks in an interview with CNN's The Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. He said, when he was asked by Blitzer if the Hunter Biden stories are Russian disinformation, he said, "We know that this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. That's been clear for well over a year now, that they've been pushing this false narrative about the vice president and his son." But Schiff didn't get any new information from the intelligence community when asked by Blitzer to corroborate his statement. I don't think I need to go any further into this. If you'd like to read the whole story, you can. It'll be in show notes today. But Adam Schiff has been lying. And you know the old joke, how do you know when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. Well, Adam Schiff is a walking lie. He can't tell the truth. His entire agenda is to destroy Donald Trump, the presidency of Donald Trump. And he does so by any means possible. And he lies so easily with no regret whatsoever. He is the living example of what we talked about the Dennis Prager article I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, about people on the left having no moral compass. He's a living example of not having a moral compass. All that matters to him is winning power and control and destroying his opposition. There is no moral compass. Whatever benefits the cause at the moment is all that matters. His ethics are completely and totally situational. He has no standards of morality. All he cares about is winning power and control. That's all. That's it. Now, the Director of National Intelligence has confirmed just this morning that Hunter Biden's laptop is not part of some Russian disinformation campaign. This is coming from the Director of National Intelligence. His name is John Ratcliffe. You've seen him around. He's the Director of National Intelligence. And this morning, he told Fox Business that Hunter Biden's laptop was not part of a Russian disinformation campaign, despite the media's attempts to claim otherwise. Fox Business host Maria Bartiromo pressed him about claims from House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, who made repeated false claims during the Russia investigation that the news surrounding the laptop was Russian disinformation. She asked him, "Is this Russian disinformation, Director?" And he responded, "So, Maria, it's funny that some of the people that complain the most about intelligence being politicized are the ones politicizing intelligence. And unfortunately, in this case, it is Adam Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, who, as you pointed out on Friday, said that the intelligence community believes that Hunter Biden's laptop and emails on it are part of some Russian disinformation campaign. Let me be clear, the intelligence community doesn't believe that, because there is no intelligence that supports, and we shared no intelligence with Chairman Schiff or any other member of Congress that Hunter Biden's laptop is part of some Russian disinformation campaign. It's simply not true. He also said that Schiff wants anything against his preferred political candidate to be deemed as not real and is using the intelligence community, or attempting to use the intelligence community, to say there's nothing to see here. Don't drag the intelligence community into this. Hunter Biden's laptop is not part of some Russian disinformation campaign, and I think it's clear the American people know that. That is coming from the Director of National Intelligence. He confirms that Adam Schiff is, once again, lying by saying that the intelligence community has told him this is Russian disinformation. The Director of National Intelligence says, "Not so, bozo. Never told you that." And so, the Hunter Biden laptop story is getting some legs. It's spreading. It's getting people's attention. People are raising eyebrows. And one place that you're not seeing this story, you're not seeing it covered in any depth whatsoever, with any facts, with any truth, is the mainstream progressive press. They're keeping it buried, because they know it's damaging to Joe Biden. It's damaging to the Democrat campaign for president. It's damaging. It is the October surprise they wish they could have come up with against Donald Trump. But things are working in reverse now. The October surprise is damaging Joe Biden and the Democrats. And they're not going to give it any traction if they can get away with it in any way. And it says a lot about today's progressive news media. Because, as I've illustrated to you many, many times, today's press is driven by sensationalism, by ratings, by bottom line numbers. The number of eyes that can get watching them, reading them, and the number of ears they can get listening to them is translated into ad revenue, because the higher the listener and viewer numbers and the reader numbers, the higher they can price their advertising. The more people paying attention to them, the more money they can make, which is why they go for the sensational stories. This story is probably the most sensational story in the last 4 or 5 years. At least since the Kavanaugh hearings, it's the most sensational story. And they're ignoring it. And that says everything you need to know about what's going on with today's news media. They're in bed with the Democrat Party because they share the same goals. They want the same outcome for this election. And so, they have tossed their journalistic integrity in the dumpster for the sake of politics.
This helpful instructional message from the National Association of People Who Have Trouble Walking and Chewing Gum at the Same Time. Step, chew. Step, chew. Step, chew. Step.
Just doing our part to help. It's the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there. Thanks for sticking around. It is the 19th day of October 2020. We're less than 2 weeks away from Halloween. And well under 30 days away from the election on November 3rd. And because everything is tightening up, because we're so close to this election, all of the information you're getting today is becoming more urgent. Have you noticed? They're dialing things up. Everything is becoming more important, more dire. One example, is the coronavirus reporting. Have you noticed that all of a sudden they're talking second wave? Second wave, where Europe is experiencing a second wave. It's coming to the U.S. We are hearing these stories about more people, more cases. And we've talked about this before, but the leftist press focuses on case numbers, not on recoveries. Over 5 million people have recovered from the coronavirus. Yes, we have had over 200,000 people pass away, but those numbers are questionable. And I'm just going to say that. The numbers, you can't trust those numbers. I think if we had honest reporting, not influenced by people looking for a political end, we would find that actual real coronavirus cases are far fewer. We've seen the stories again and again and again and again and again of things of death being contributed to coronavirus when people didn't have it. We've seen there's the stories of people whose loved ones passed away that they never got a chance to visit, and they knew they weren't infected with the coronavirus. They knew what was wrong with them. They had medical issues, but their deaths were attributed to the coronavirus and COVID-19. And they knew that was not the case. We've seen all kinds of stories about this kind of corruption in reporting the cases. So that number, that 200,000 number, it's extremely questionable. But it's not questionable that we have over 5 million people who've recovered. It's not questionable that we have people every day recovering. Yeah, some people have had some scary experiences. They've gotten sick, and because it's a different sick, it's something they've never experienced before, it's frightening. But we're watching the stories increase. And it has everything to do with an election coming up in less than 30 days. They're dialing up the fear-mongering. They're scaring more people. And they're doing this so that the Democrats can continue to lie and say that Donald Trump has been irresponsible and has failed the people of the United States in controlling the coronavirus. And there are multiple timelines out there. Just search my social media for the podcast, and you'll see the timelines. I've laid out link after link. The timelines are available. You can see exactly what Donald Trump has done, and it's much more than anyone else has. While he was shutting the borders down, banning flights from abroad, warning people, the Democrats were saying, hey, there's nothing to worry about. He's really overblowing this. It's not any worse than the flu. The Democrats were downplaying this while he was warning people, and his people were warning America. And now they're lying about all of that. It's a really strange thing. Now, we have seen in the last week a lot of stuff happen, and there's an article by Eric Erickson over at Daily Wire called Orwell Rears His Head. I just want to read this to you today because I want you to realize what's going on in America today. On Monday of last week, to use the phrase sexual preference was completely acceptable. As recently as last month, multiple gay rights publications used the phrase. Leon Panetta had used the phrase in the past couple of years. Joe Biden has used the phrase this year. Merriam-Webster considered sexual preference to be just another version of sexual orientation. But then, Tuesday happened. On Tuesday, the village idiot from Hawaii, masquerading as a senator, Mazie Hirono, attacked Amy Coney Barrett for using sexual preference instead of sexual orientation. By Tuesday evening, the employees of Merriam-Webster had changed the phrase in their online dictionary to note it was offensive. No, I'm not making that up. The dictionary company literally changed it after Barrett's exchange with Hirono. Steve Krakauer, a former CNN producer who now produces Megyn Kelly's podcast, documented the change on his social media feed. Gay rights publications such as The Advocate went on the attack as well. In just 18 days, sexual preference went from acceptable to a hate crime. On September 25th, 2020, The Advocate tweeted out a story from its publication with this quote: "To come from that history, to be able to now, as a director, be telling these stories about young people who are just comfortable with who they are, no matter what their sexual preference is, it's just glorious and so satisfying." On October 13th, 2020, The Advocate ran a story with the headline, "Amy Coney Barrett blasted for anti-LGBTQ plus term sexual preference." Incapable of winning the hearts and minds of the public on most social arguments these days, the left has decided to police the language and make common phrases used by even Democratic politicians a few months ago verboten. Progressive activists are now routinely condemn anyone who supports or ever supported traditional marriage, but will give a pass to Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and others who held those positions. Then there's the matter of the New York Post's Hunter Biden story. One of the most widely distributed newspapers in America has a major scoop about Joe Biden and his son, and Twitter not only blocked access to the story, but also locked accounts trying to share the story and blocked people from even sharing links to the story. Twitter was fine with a McClatchy story about Michael Cohen going to Prague, even after Robert Mueller specifically said the story was not true. Twitter was fine with BuzzFeed sharing the Steele dossier and rumors about the P tape. But Twitter would not let a legitimate story from a legitimate publication about Biden be circulated because the material was obtained through alleged hacking. It actually was not hacking. Whoever dropped off the laptop, which allegedly belonged to Hunter Biden for repair, never bothered to pick it up. It became the property of the store owner. Even if hacking were the case, Twitter has let loose multiple stories damaging to the president based on hacking and other information, including the New York Times obtaining Trump's tax records. The American left and their tech comrades are trying to win by suppressing information they do not like and twisting language to suit their ends. They have dragged us into George Orwell's nightmare vision. Progressives feel emboldened by what they see as a Biden win shaping up. They are revealing their own authoritarian nature with a heavy streak of totalitarianism, where dissent is not permitted, language they deem hateful is not allowed, and the news stories they find inconvenient are buried. If Twitter's handling of the Hunter Biden story is not proof enough, consider Portland, Oregon. The national press has stopped covering the riots, but they are still happening. Last week, local businesses publicly began pleading for the riots to stop. The American media moved on from the story the moment it appeared to be impacting Biden. Tech giants, mainstream media outlets, and Democrats unable to win fairly have chosen to ignore stories that could damage Biden, block conservatives from sharing those stories, and even alter the dictionary to advance their cause. These are dangerous games they're playing, and they will end badly for everyone if they continue. And once again, that's from Eric Erickson over at the Daily Wire. The story is called "Orwell Rears His Head." He hits the bullseye. He's completely and totally right about this. We're watching a renowned, world-class, widely respected dictionary change the meaning of a word because someone who could become a Supreme Court justice used or the term that they don't approve of. They've decided, well, we're changing. She can't get into the Supreme Court. That's offensive. She can't use that language. That's desperate. And it's Orwellian. Changing the meaning of words. Making something mean something offensive, which really isn't offensive. If people in the LGBTQ plus community didn't prefer their lifestyle, would they be in their lifestyle? Only if they weren't mentally stable. So changing the meaning of a word is just a way to condemn someone. And ignoring the validity of news that is hitting everywhere is just operating as a propagandist organization. And that's what we're watching happen in front of our own eyes right now. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.